Say, blessed be the name. We want to say, blessed be your holy name. Almighty God, we just say thank you. Thank you for another beautiful Friday afternoon. Thank you for your presence. Thank you because we have come to Mount Zion. We have come to the heavenly Jerusalem. Oh, we have come to the innumerable company of angels. We have come to you, Almighty God. We have come to you, Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. And we're saying, Lord, have your way here today, oh God. Thank you because by the reason of the anointing, even in this place, we're declaring that yokes will be destroyed in the name of Jesus. We're declaring that light has come. Thank you for your presence. We're saying, even as the mountains surround Jerusalem this afternoon, we're saying, Lord, let your presence surround us. Let your word locate us. Even as we worship you, let your mercy locate us. Let your mercy come upon us. Thank you because your beauty is already upon us. Your favor is already shining upon us. And we're saying, thank you for an outpouring of your spirit upon every person, upon everyone, from the person that will minister to Pastor Maker that will share the word. Father, we say thank you, Lord. Thank you for strength. Thank you for utterance. Thank you because indeed light has come. We arise and we shine. We know that our light has come. We know that the glory of the Lord is risen upon us. And we're saying thank you because you are the glory and the lifter up of our head. So we're saying thank you for the lifting up today, oh God. Thank you for the healing. Oh God, thank you for the many testimonies that will come forth. Thank you for lives that will be delivered. Thank you for deliverance through your word today, oh God. Thank you because the entrance of your word brings light. It brings understanding. We did revelation has come. Joy has come. Because the Bible says that in my presence, there is fullness of joy. And so we just declare this meeting open. We say, thank you for everything, oh God. We say, Lord, have your way. We give you all the glory, all adoration. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Lift up those hands wherever you are. As you thank the Lord for his goodness, for his love as expressed on the cross of Calvary. Thank him for the salvation of your soul, for the hope that the cross has brought. We bless you, Lord, with the fruit of our lips. All of our worship is yours, all of the honor that we bring. There is power mighty in the blood. There is power mighty. this sink in your consciousness. There is power in the blood. There is power, power, power in the blood. Ah, yes, there is power, mighty, in the blood of Jesus Christ. There is power, mighty, in the blood of Jesus Christ. There is power.
There is power, mighty, in the blood.
Love. do his banquet in home. Get this man over me. He is love. And the brother love say, he is love. He is love. Oh, his man over me. His love. Oh, he has brought me into his banquet in.
I am nothing without you, God.
didn't care. From sinful fields and emptiness, filled with love, sealed by your spirit, we are made by love. No longer who I used to be, I've been made a brand new man by love. Not by my works, but by love. For our righteousness is as filthy rags, but we are made by love. touching, see and feel. Unworthy, yet you pour your love. Oh, you pour your love on me. I was naked, cold, unneeded, covering passion to your death.
Thank you, Lord. For it's not of he that willeth, nor of he that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Let's start today by just thanking God for showing us mercies. The fact that we're alive, that's proof of God's mercies. Just go ahead and say, Father, thank you. Thank you that I'm a beneficiary of your mercies. Lord, I just want to thank you for the abundance of your mercies upon my life. Thank you. Your word says it's of your mercies that we have not been consumed. Lord, thank you. In other words, had it not been for your mercies, I won't be standing here today. If that's your testimony, open your mouth wherever you are and just thank God for his mercies. We can't pay for it. We can't even afford it if God were to put a price on it. But he just showers on us free. Appreciate him for his mercies. Lord, thank you for your mercies. Thank you. The testimonies we have is because of his mercies. Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. That I was healed is because of his mercies. Father, thank you. I'm just grateful for your mercies, Lord. Jehovah, we want to thank you for showing us mercies abundantly. So thank you, Lord. Thank you. Glory be to your name. In Jesus' mighty name, we have given thanks. Amen. Let us pray. Glory be to God in the highest. Amen. Glory be to God in the highest. Amen. Hallelujah. For his mercies endureth forever. Amen. 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 For his mercies endureth forever. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Lord, thank you for your mercies upon our lives. Thank you for keeping us, watching over us, strengthening us, guiding us, providing for us, healing us, sustaining us, lifting us, crowning us, loving us, forgiving us, helping us. Father, thank you. Thank you for everything you do. That we have come to say thank you. We love you and appreciate you, God Almighty. Father, it's in your name we have gathered this day and this hour. Lord God Almighty, you said where two or three are gathered in your name, you are there. We receive your presence with us this hour, everywhere, in the name of the Lord Jesus. And Daddy, send your word. Let your word bring healing. Let your word bring deliverance. Let your word bring a quickening. Let your word bring a restoration. Let your word birth a new beginning. Let your word bring lifting, oh God. In the name of the Lord Jesus, let your word cause the one who has been timid to become more than a conqueror even today. In the mighty name of Jesus, thank you, Heavenly Father. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let somebody shout hallelujah. Glory be to God. So a very good day to you all. And we thank you, Sister Bakari. Thank you for the opening prayer. And Yadah, God bless you real good. Thank you. Thank you. The first time I heard that song, I'm the one that you have shown your mercy. I went into my office and I played that song. I don't know how often or how many times that day. And each time it brought tears to my eyes because it was me that song was talking about. And immediately I sent a message to the head of the choir and I said, you guys are doing this song on Sunday. Start practicing it. And they pulled it off too. God bless you real good. It's his mercies. So Acts chapter 3 verses 1 to 8. We'll just read verse 1. You know, been there for a while. Acts chapter 3 verse 1. Acts 3 1. It says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. That's verse 1. We started with now and saying it's either now or never. That faith is now. The day you receive it is the day you pray. The hour, it's a reality, is the hour you prayed for it. And we said faith is now. Faith is not tomorrow. Faith is not when God does it. Faith is when you pray. And that was where we started from. Then we said Peter and John went up. And we said to in sharing that we talked about your association determine whether you go up or you go down. And we talked about being careful who you associate yourself with. Peter and John went up, they didn't go down. So obviously this was a good teamwork. You must put people around you who take you up, not down. Praise the Lord. And we said together, that was when we now discussed unity in the body. Well, let's take it from there. Today, we're talking about the art of war. The art of war. You know, we started with actually the art of showing up. Today, we're talking about the art of war. They went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer. At the hour of prayer. Last week, it was the hour we talked about. We said the. But today, the hour of prayer. The hour of prayer. If there is one hour you must have, it's the hour of prayer. And I'm not talking in terms of the time must be 60 minutes. No, but you must have that time of prayer. But the truth is, if there's one time that the devil does not want you to have also, he doesn't want you to have that hour of prayer. That's why, I mean, thank God for Daddy's message yesterday. In fact, I just said, Lord, thank you that this is confirming what you wanted us to share today. It's as if this is the word of God for this season. A revival in the place of prayer, a quickening in the place of prayer, a raising back of the altar of prayer in the homes of children of God. Altar fires that have gone out like it went out in the temple when Eli was the priest. It ought not to be so with us. But if there's one hour we must have, is that hour of prayer as a child of God. If there's one hour the devil does not want you nor I to have, is that hour of prayer. Why? Like that the Jew said, because he knows that as long as I don't have it, the siege will continue to be enforced in my life. That's why the night you decide to pray is the night that your sleep will be so sweet. I mean, I'm sure there are witnesses in the house. It's the night that your sleep will be sweetest. You that used to wake up before have troubled sleep, the very night you say, 2 a.m. I'm waking up to pray. That is the night you will have the soundest of sleep. That's why we can gist for hours with friends. Daddy G also mentioned it yesterday, what you said. Talk for hours with your friend, discuss things into the night, and you're not feeling sleepy. Watch football for hours. I used to do that till God delivered me. Watch Netflix for hours, and you won't feel sleepy. But the moment you kneel down, that's where the place where you knelt down to pray is where you kneel down and sleep off. It's what the enemy doesn't want us to have. Remember, Peter slept off. It wasn't just him. In Mark chapter 14, verse 37, Mark 14, 37, the Bible says, and he cometh, that's our Lord Jesus Christ, and findeth them sleeping. Will he still find you? Is that the way he's going to find me? Is that the way he's going to find you? At the hour of prayer. He found them sleeping. He said unto them, Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? In other words, you are sleeping now. Couldn't you just watch 1 hour, the hour of prayer? Could you just not watch 1 hour? That's what he asked them. And many of us are sleeping in the place of prayer. But they went up at the hour of prayer into the temple. They did not sit at home at the hour of prayer. They were where they ought to be at the hour of prayer. Are we where we ought to be at the hour of prayer, at the time of prayer? Several things the Holy Spirit shared with me as I've been meditating on this prayerfully for the past 3 or 4 days. He said to me, a lifestyle of prayer leads to a life of progress. A lifestyle of prayer leads to a life of progress. And he gave me an example of the life of Daniel. If you read Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, Daniel 6, 10, and when we are done with this, and I'm trying to rush, because I want us to take some prayers, because I asked the Lord, I said, what would be the prayer point of this man at Gate Beautiful? On that morning, what would have been his prayer point before all of this happened? And those are the things we are going to pray, because I believe it's somebody's time for divine intervention. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. He says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled down upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. This is the place I'm going. As he did aforetime. So this wasn't just an affront against the law of the king. It was his lifestyle. Small wonder this man was at the helm of affairs for different kings, for different nations. Young and old, he was there, he remained. You will think that when a new king comes, because he wants loyalty, he will kill off everybody loyal to the former king and then bring his own people. But Daniel stood there. He was always there, top. Different nations, different kings. One king will conquer the other one. They will still keep Daniel. A lifestyle of prayer leads to a life of progress. That's the life you see with Daniel. Prayer is not what you contract. It's not what you contract out. It is what you engage in. It's not what you contract out. Listen to James chapter 5, verse 13. James chapter 5, verse 13. The Bible says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Who should pray? The one who's afflicted. He didn't say, is any of you afflicted? Let him go and ask people to pray for him. Many of us have come into the place where we contract prayers out and say, oh, this person, my family wanted to do it once several years ago. Now some things were happening. The young people were dying in the family strangely every year. And so the family had a big family meeting, extended family, everybody. And they invited the prophet who was supposed to go to the village on our behalf. We contribute a certain amount and give to him that he was going to break the curse for us. We wanted to contract the prayer that was asked that somebody should go and do. Many years ago, somebody came to me and brought one young lady and dropped a sheet of paper with four names on it and said I should please pray over it and let her know that these four people have proposed to her. She wants to know which one to marry. And she gave me the paper and wanted to contract me to do the prayer. And I said, no, please take back this. You go and pray. Then come back to me and say, I've received this. I will now pray and receive a confirmation or say, well, I don't have it, but you must do the prayer. The Bible says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. So you don't contract out prayer. Nobody can feel the hurt the way you feel it. You don't. Prayer is not what you hurry. It's where you tarry. It's not what you hurry through. It's where you tarry. In Luke chapter 6, verses 11 and 12, Luke chapter 6, verse 11 and 12, the Bible says, and they were filled with madness, skip to 12. And it came to pass in those days, this is talking about our Lord Jesus Christ, that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. This is God himself manifesting the flesh. This is our Lord Jesus Christ. He went out to pray and tarried all night. If there was one man who walked the earth that did not need to pray, it was Jesus Christ. But he tarried all night. He stayed all night. It's a place where you tarry. It's not a place where you hurry. Many people have a program to watch. Oh, I have a program by 2 p.m. that I need to watch. The match is starting. So let me quickly rush and do my prayer with God for the next 15 minutes. If God answers me, fine. If he doesn't, I need to watch it. It's not what you do with God. He's nobody's errand boy. He's the Almighty. You enter there and you tarry. You don't hurry with God and say, Lord, if you don't give me the answer in 15 minutes, my favorite program is starting. My favorite show is starting. No, you enter there and you tarry before God. So it's not what you hurry, it's where you tarry. Prayer ought not to be the last resort. It ought to be the first place. Prayer ought not to be the last resort. It ought to be the first place. The Bible says, seek ye first. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Prayer ought to come first. It's not what we do last, but where do we find it right now? Tell yourself the truth. I'll tell myself the truth. We find it in the last place. It's when the doctors have said, there's nothing we can do anymore. We've tried our best. Take this person home to die. That we now start saying, oh God, where's redemption come? How can we get that deal? How can we? That's when we come to that. It shouldn't be. It should be the first place. It should be the first thing. That's where I ought to go. When I was meditating on it this morning, the Holy Spirit said to me, don't do anything about it till you have prayed about it. Make that your watchword. No matter what it is, don't do anything about it till you have prayed about it. Make it a watchword. Prayer must be first. It's not till they say, oh, we're hopeless now. You know, say, okay, where's God? Somebody said, two people were talking and at the beginning, and one of them said, well, let's pray. And the guy said, the other one said, has he come to that? So people put prayer at the back and say, well, let's be doing our own. When everything else fails, then we pray. No, prayer ought not to be the last resort, but the first place I go in any matter. Prayer is a posture of humility. Daddy also mentioned that yesterday. Prayer is a posture of humility before God, saying, Lord, I can't, but you can. It's a posture of humility. In Mark chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, Mark 5, 22 and 23, I'm not going to read it for time's sake, but this was a man, the head of the synagogue called Jairus. He came to Jesus Christ. The Bible said he fell before him, fell at his feet. Now they say the head of the synagogue can be termed like a mayor of a city at that time. Imagine the mayor of a city coming in front of everybody. This wasn't in the quiet, in a silent place with Jesus in a one-on-one. No. The crowd was following Jesus, and this great man comes and falls at his feet to ask for something. Prayer is a position or a posture of humility. When you pray, that's why Daddy Gio said yesterday, he said the proud won't pray. That when you don't pray, it's proof that you are proud. Prayer is a posture of humility. King Jehoshaphat, we talk about him a lot when we're talking about praise, how they praised and then things turned around. But he started with prayer. He didn't start with the prayer. He started with prayer. He went to God in humility and said, Lord, we can't, but you can. These people have come against us with might. We don't have anywhere to go, but you are God. Help us. He took a posture of humility, even though he was the king. He humbled himself before God. Prayer is a posture of humility. I remember many years ago when we were moving, relocating from where we were before. As a church, we were staying in a hotel. And then things began to change there, and the condition wasn't any more conducive. But that was God stirring up the nest for us to move. And we're about to move, but the place we're moving to didn't look good. It didn't look like anything will happen there. It didn't look like anybody will come there. It didn't look good. And I was scared. But thank God my fear took me to God. I spent hours tarrying before God on several days, crying and saying, Lord, this move, I need to hear from you. I need to be sure that this is not my flesh. This is not pride. This is you. One night, the Lord spoke to me in the place of prayer, and I believe that God is speaking to somebody here this afternoon. He's setting fire, reigniting fire back on your prayer altar this afternoon in the name of Jesus. He spoke to me and said to me, when I took the children of Israel out of Egypt, how many did I leave behind? His question was the answer to my prayer. That question alone gave me the answer I needed, and we're bold to make that move forward, and God kept to his word. Prayer is not advised. Prayer is mandated. Prayer is not advised. It is mandated. Our Lord Jesus Christ said men ought always to pray. It's mandated, not an advice. Our Lord Jesus didn't say, well, when you have time to pray. He said, when you pray, it's not a matter of if you pray. When you fast, it's not a matter of if you fast. It's not advised. It's mandated. Daddy said yesterday that your lifestyle should be that of prayer. It's a mandate. You are in traffic driving, like those of us who live in Lagos. In the traffic, while you are sitting there in the car, pray in tongues. Pray, begin to discuss with your father. You are at the airport waiting for a flight to take off. Instead of sitting around watching everybody and looking at the one who wore the wrong clothes, looking at the one whose shoes are not so fine, begin to talk to the Almighty God. Pray going out, pray coming in. Prayer is not how we confront difficult situations. It is how we live life. Prayer is not how we confront difficult situations. It's how we live life. So you don't only pray when things show up and it looks like this is a mountain. No, it's how we live life. Prayer is the breath of every child of God. Prayer is our breath. Prayer is an act of faith. It's you talking to a God you cannot see, a God you cannot feel, but you know he's there. That's faith. Prayer is an act of faith. That's why it pleases God when we pray. It pleases him that you will come and pray. It must therefore displease him when the prayer altar is cold and nobody's there talking to him. Prayer is not what men of God do. It is what every child of God ought to do. Prayer is not what men of God do, because some people think, oh, it's men of God, so go and meet them to pray for you. No, it's what every child of God must do. And prayer is not where you go and beg an unwilling God. Many times we go to the place of prayer looking like God is unwilling, so we're begging him, oh God, I beg you, oh God, please help. He's willing. Prayer is where you go and rest in a willing, loving Father. It's where you go and talk with a willing, loving Father. That's what it is. It's not where you go to beg God. He's willing. He's willing. He's able. He stretched forth his hands saying, come. That's the truth. But the truth is, Daddy also mentioned it yesterday. He said that the widow who was starving to death in debt was in debt. Nothing happened till she cried out. Did God know she was in debt? Yes. But why didn't God do anything till she cried out? Because it would appear, this is a great mystery, it would appear like God will not do anything on earth till he finds a man who will lift up his voice and connect with him. It's as if it's until we lift up our voice that we authorize heaven to intervene in the matters of the earth. If we fold our hands, it's the same thing. The children of Israel were in captivity for several years. But the Bible says in Exodus 1 or so that when they cried, God heard them. So till they cried, but they've been in that captivity for long. Heaven didn't move until a voice cried out. So obviously, divine intervention is voice activated. Divine intervention is voice activated. I remember the story of a man, and this also happened to me. He was in a desperate situation because prayer is a dialogue. You must, when you spend time praying, be quiet to also hear. Don't just talk to him, issue orders, and walk away like you have spoken to your errand boy is going to do the errand. No, when you talk to God, wait and hear what he's got to say. It's a dialogue. Prayer is not a monologue. So this man was in a desperate situation, and he began to pray. He was crying out to God, praying several hours, lifting his voice on his face and on the ground, screaming and praying. And then suddenly he stopped and said, here lies a fool who knows nothing, doing all the talking to the one who knows everything. And he now kept quiet. And God said, about time. This I experienced this, say, was it last year or 2 years ago? I was invited to minister somewhere. And it's a place where I didn't think, well, I sort of qualified to be there. And so I needed God to speak and to do something that will show that he's the one who brought me there. No, I did not want to speak of myself in any way. So I spent days praying, crying out to God, Lord God Almighty, give me a word, give me a word, give me a word. Nights praying, nothing till the morning I was going to minister there. And then I was now in the bathroom, bathing, saying, well, Lord, I have nothing to say. What do I do? So I sure went in to take my bath, get freshened up. While I was bathing, God began to tell me what to say. This is what I want you to say. This is the scripture. This is the word. And I looked up and I said, Lord, I am in the bathroom. I have no pen, no paper, no phone to record this. You should be telling me where I can write it down, not in the bathroom. And you know what he said to me? He said, you've been doing all the talking all these days. This is the only opportunity I have for you to listen to what I had to say. So prayer is dialogue. Wait and hear what he's got to say. Prayer is taking up arms. It's picking up your weapon and say, no, I won't take this anymore. That's prayer. Prayer is taking sides with God, uniting with God and saying, Lord, I'm with you on this. Let's go. Let's do this. Prayer is taking sides with God. Prayer is diving into the river of God's mercy. Thank God you had that song about the mercy of God today. Prayer is diving into the river of God's mercy. That's what happened to blind Bartimaeus. Jesus, that son of David, have mercy on me. He dove into the river of God's mercy. God drenched in the mercy of God. Every time you dive into the river of God's mercy through prayer, you always come out a miracle. You never come out the same. Prayer is giving God the power of attorney to act in your situation, to act on your behalf. That's what prayer is. When you pray, you issue God the power of attorney and say, Lord, you have the right to act on my behalf right now. And God says, thank you very much. I was waiting for that. Let me deal with the matter. Oh, thank you, Lord. Prayer is the release of light where there has been darkness. You want revelation. You want to know things you didn't know. Go to the place of prayer. When light is released, things that have been covered, they are made bare before you, and you see it and see what's going on. I want us to pray. Thank you, Lord. Glory to your name. I said to the Lord, what would have been this man's prayer? This man had been beautiful, that got healed, that got his miracle. The only one that got miracle on the day that these two people visited, Peter and John. And these are the prayers. There are five, and we're going to pray them. 1 minute each by the help of God. Your first prayer this afternoon, you are going to cry out to God. He must have said that day as he was going, as they were carrying him, he must have said to God, Lord, I don't know how you will do it, but make this day a day that I will never forget for the rest of my life. Make this day for me a turning point for good in the affairs of my life. He must have said that. That's why that day, he will never forget it. If you were to forget any other day, that day again, when Peter and John came, he can't forget it. I want you to pray. Can God do it for you today? I believe so. Lift your voice and say, Father. Say, Father, I don't know how you will do it, but make this day to mark a significant turning point for good in the affairs of my life. In the name of the Lord Jesus, in the affairs of my family, in the affairs of my children, Lord, I don't know how you would do it, but you did it for this man again, beautiful. Lord God Almighty, make this day a significant day, significant turning point. Let it mark a significant turning point in my life, in my business, in my finances, this season, in the mighty name of Jesus. By your hand, O God, in the name of the Lord Jesus, make it mark a significant turning point for good in my life, over my health, in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we prayed. Say amen. Number two, he must have prayed that his helpers should be mobilized his way. Peter and John had to walk his path. because I'm sure the gate beautiful is not one tiny gate. They say it was a huge gate, really nicely designed, according to historians. So it wasn't one tiny gate where everybody squeezes through and you will always easily see this man. I'm sure there were other beggars there. It's a place of advantage where beggars will come. So it wasn't only him, but his helpers, Peter and John, walked his path that day. They walked his way. He saw them. I want you to pray. You are going to command that your helpers will arise and be mobilized your way, that they will encounter you at your appointed time. Lift your voice and say, Father, I command my helpers to arise now. They are mobilized my way and they encounter me at my appointed time this season. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father, I command my helpers to arise. My helpers this season, helpers unto testimony, unto miracles, unto dancing and leaping and praising God. I command them to be mobilized my way from the east, west, north, south. Helpers of mine, arise in the name of Jesus. Arise right now. You are mobilized my way, mobilized my path in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus, you come from the east, you come from the west, you come from the north, you come from the south. My helpers, as Peter and John located this man, my helpers locate me. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Another thing is for your helpers. One thing is for your helpers to be mobilized. Another thing is for you to be positioned where they are. Abraham was seated outside when the three passed and they saw him. What if he was inside? What if he strolled away with a friend that day and wasn't around? He would have passed by. You are going to cry out to the Almighty God and say, Father, Father, I commit my ways into your hands. Oh Lord, orchestrate my steps to position me on the path of my testimony. Orchestrate my steps and position me on the path of my testimony, Father. I commit my ways, my decisions, my steps, my goings out, my coming in. I commit them into your hands this season, Jehovah. Lord, orchestrate my path, oh God. Let me be positioned on the path of my testimony. In the name of Jesus, let me not go astray from the path where my testimony is to encounter me. Position me right there at the appointed time for my testimony. In the name of Jesus, this man could have decided he wasn't coming that day. He's tired of this begging. He's exhausted, but he came. Father, position me on the path of my testimony. In the name of Jesus, lead me, oh God, and position me aright. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Let's quickly take two more. We'll stop there. You're going to cry out to the Almighty God. Oh, thank you. It's one thing for your helpers to come and for you to be positioned. It's another thing for them to recognize you. Samuel did not recognize David. He was almost crowning or anointing someone else, several other people. But thank God when David showed up, God said, that's the one. Do you know that God can put a mark on you so that when the helper shows up, they will just know this is the one I'm supposed to help? Now, did you share the testimony with us before? How he was waiting on the queue somewhere outside the country. And he was cold, he was shivering, he was hungry. Somebody from afar looked through the queue and started heading his way, met him, took him out of the queue and said, come, where are you from? Did not know him, brought cookies, brought tea, and gave him and asked him to sit down and did all the things he was supposed to do. That person recognized. God sent that person and the person said, God said, that's the person. Lift your voice and say, Father, mark me out for recognition by the heavenly postmasters that are bearing my package unto celebration this season. Lord, mark me out for recognition in the name of Jesus. Now, there will be no confusion. They will know that this is the one they've been sent to help. This is the one they've been sent with this package to deliver to bring me celebration, just the way this man at the beautiful was celebrating at the end of the day. Father, in the name of Jesus, Peter and John were heavenly postmasters that were bearing the package of celebration for this man. There are heavenly postmasters dispatched unto you this season, bearing your heavenly packages unto celebration. Ask the Lord, Father, mark me out so they will not miss me. They will not miss me and hand it over to another person. Mark me out for recognition by the ones you've dispatched as my helpers. In Jesus' name, we've prayed. Amen. Thank you, Father. Finally, he looked at them. We're going to ask. And Lord, my eyes are on you. By your hand, lift me out into where I am dancing, leaping, and praising God. Lift your voice and say, Father, my eyes are on you. Oh Lord, by your own hand, lift me up into the place where I am dancing and leaping and praising God in the name of Jesus. Go ahead and talk to the Almighty God. Father, my eyes are on you, O God. Daddy, with your hands, your hand of mercy, Lord, lift me up, lift me out into the place of my dancing, the place of my singing, my leaping, my praising God in the mighty name of Jesus. Lift me out from where I am, oh God. Bring me into my place of leaping in the name of Jesus, my place of dancing, my place of praises in Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. I pray for you that this season, by the hand of God, as you set your eyes on him, his hand, the Almighty, will pick you up, lift you out of wherever you are, and bring you and plant your feet in the place where you will be singing, leaping, dancing, and praising God in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you believe it, say amen with me. God bless you.
Good afternoon. Amen. Amen. Wow, good afternoon, everyone. This was, I almost couldn't keep up this afternoon. Pastor Emeka, thank you so much. I almost couldn't keep up. There were so many prayer points. And please, may I ask Pope that you please send us this recording. I think this is a message. Can anyone hear me? The electricity just went off here. So can anyone hear me?
Yes, ma'am. We can hear you.
If you can hear me, I said this is a message that I think we ought to listen to, especially at this time. Even if you can't see me, I know you can hear me. So please, Pope, can you share the recording of this message? And I pray that for us this week, we will be divinely positioned. We will not miss any of our appointments. And the angels, the people around us that God has sent to deliver those wonderful packages for us, will not miss us in the mighty name of Jesus. They will recognize us because his divine mark will be on us in the mighty name of Jesus. We have prayed. Pastor Emeka, thank you so much for everything. Thank you so much for this word that is so timely at this season. I just pray that God will release a special anointing to prevail in the place of prayer for on each and every one of us in Jesus' name. I pray that for myself, and I pray that for everyone on this platform in Jesus' name. Our sister Yada, thank you so much for the worship. I know we have a few more minutes with you. We look forward to that. God will increase your anointing. And may you continue to be a blessing as you lead us in praise in Jesus' name. For everyone who has joined us, thank you very much for joining this afternoon. This is a fellowship that we hold 1 to 2 every Friday until the Lord asks us to stop or until he comes back for all of us all in Jesus' name. It's one of the good things that COVID did. You know, it's not all bad. It's one of the good things that COVID did. And so please join us again next week. Invite someone to be blessed if you have been blessed. Once again, have a wonderful weekend. And see you next week if the Lord tarries. In Jesus' mighty name.
Pastor Emeka, thank you. Lift up the hands wherever you are. As you thank the Lord for his goodness. Everyone streaming this, thank you for joining. It's such an honor to be before you again. Thank you, Pastor Tommy and Pastor Emeka, for having me. I'm honored. Such a privilege. Thank you so much. So wherever you are, leave those hands in thanksgiving. It's a good time to just pour your love on the Father. You thank the one who keeps you, the one who has loved you with an everlasting love. The one whose faithfulness is ever sure, your helper, your lover, your ever-present help, the one who doesn't turn away, promised he will never fail. I will follow, I will follow him. My God has promised he will never fail. His faithfulness is forevermore. His faithfulness is forevermore. Almighty Father promised that he will never fail. I will follow, I will follow him every day, every moment, 'cause he promised that he will never fail. His faithfulness is forevermore. His faithfulness is forevermore. What he said he will do, he has promised he will never fail. He's not a man he will lie, and I will fall. I will follow him. The Lord has promised that he will never fail. His faithfulness is for generation after generation. Yesterday, today, forever. His faithfulness is forevermore. For those that come to him must know that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And I will call, I will follow him. He's a covenant keeper. He has promised he will never fail, and his faithfulness is forevermore. His faithfulness is forevermore. Yes, he has
Thank you so much, everyone. Good afternoon, and thank you for joining today's fellowship. We're glad to have you, and we'll look forward to having you next week, Friday, by God's grace. Thank you, and God bless you.